From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with J. Warner Wallace, author of the new book, Person of Interest: Why Jesus Still Matters in a World That Rejects the Bible. Let's now join Hank Hanegraaff and J. Warner Wallace in their conversation.
In any cold case where you don't have a body, and this happens on occasion, where a guy kills his wife, and then he gets rid of her body, and then he tells everybody, oh yeah, she ran off last night. And the first officers will take this as a missing person case, and then they don't even photograph the crime scene. They don't think there is a crime scene. And then, you know, 5 days later, she hasn't come back yet. But, you know, he's convinced the family it's normal, it's going to be okay, so they don't press. And then sometimes 3, 4, 5 years go by before you're actually now working this as a homicide, and you've got no crime scene because you never took it as a murder. You took it as a missing person. Well, how do you make a case in front of a jury when you've got no evidence from a crime scene? Well, I always tell people that on the day she disappeared, some explosive event took place if she was killed. And that means that in that crime scene, a bomb went off. And bombs are always preceded by fuses that burn slowly toward the detonation of the bomb. And after the bomb explodes, you've got shrapnel and all kinds of stuff everywhere. So I will make the case to the jury just from the fuse and the fallout. I'll show why that fuse that's burning up to her disappearance points to her killer, and I'll show you why all the fallout after the bomb explodes points to the killer. Doing the same thing here with Jesus. If you had no crime scene, no New Testament, get rid of that. But imagine every single one has been destroyed. All you have is the fuse of history leading up to that explosive moment when the Common Era begins. And all you have after that is the fallout of what happens in the Common Era. You can still determine what it is that changed all of history into the Common Era. And I always considered it to be the Common Era back then because I wasn't a believer. So I think when one of these fuses is this mythology fuse, and what you'll see, and this is why I quoted Lewis, because of course, you know, Lewis, one of the most frustrating things you'll do as an author, and I know that you've done some of this too, is that people will quote my books, and they're usually quoting somebody that I quoted. Like, I'm being offered as the authority here, and it's almost always a C.S. Lewis quote, and I'm like, dang, this quote this guy saw in the book is not my quote, but this is one from a letter that he wrote to Arthur Greaves, and in it he says this. He says, now the story of Christ is simply a true myth. Now, he's using the word myth here not to say as a, you know, a false story. He's using it as a narrative about deity. So he says the story of Christ is simply a true myth, a myth working on us in the same way as the others, but with this tremendous difference that it really happened. And one must be content to accept it in that way, remembering that it is God's myth, where the others are men's myths, i.e., the pagan stories are God expressing himself through the minds of poets, using such images as he found there, while Christianity is God expressing himself through what we call real things. And that is exactly what I see happening in history. The stage has been set. So if you wanted to appear on the planet at a time when the most number of people groups are worshiping deities from their imagination, right? These are the myths of the pagans, but they have these commonalities. Well, these things don't last forever. There's a start time of worship and an end time of worship for each of these mythologies, and I have it illustrated in the book so you can see it. You will see that there is an opportunity, a window of opportunity, in which if you arrive right here in history, you're actually going to be in a position where people have expectations you could meet. And that is something that I think is important, right? So it's just one aspect of the fuse that I think is burning up to this window. I call this the red zone, which is just that zone where you have opportunities. You know, in a criminal case, the red zone would be like, okay, I need to assemble all my weapons, and I'm going to dispose of her body this way. I got to get that stuff together first, so I can't really do this until I have these minimal conditions met. And then I got this deadline. I got to do it before she leaves town, so I've got to work between that window of opportunity, I call the red zone, between having everything I need to do the job and before she gets out of town. That little window of opportunity tells me who did this, because every window is dictated by a suspect in his behavior. And so here we have a window of opportunity that is dictated by people groups that are worshiping gods with certain commonalities, and the overlap of their times of worship is exactly where Jesus appears.
Yeah, I think that bears elaboration. I mean, here you have Jesus coming at exactly the right time in history, what the Bible describes as the fullness of time. Yeah. There are so many things going on, including the Pax Romana, yeah. many things going on that make this the absolute perfect time in history.
Absolutely. What I tried to do is to show in one of the chapters how we build red zones in criminal cases, in the case, in fact, that we're talking about in the book. And so I showed this red zone, and you can see that the red zone alone would have pointed me toward Tammy's killer, because red zones are charted based on the behaviors of victims and potential suspects. And every suspect you look at will have its own set of conditions that will change your red zone. So you'll see that some of these suspects don't even have a red zone in which the murder occurred. Then when you find one does have a red zone where the murder occurred, you're like going, oh, this could be our guy, because his red zone seems to line up. Well, I did the same thing, tracing both the prophecies of the Old Testament. And that's an area where you guys were so helpful to me. A lot of areas. I sent the early manuscript to you guys, and boy, you guys just really blessed me with helping me to articulate a lot of what we talk about in those chapters. But I traced the prophecy of the Jews, the spiritual expectations of the non-Jews, and the culture of the people groups that were allowing for certain modifications and inventions, really, of languages, of alphabets, of postal services, of just the history of when war is occurring and when it is not occurring. These are things that not only allowed for Jesus to be born in a part of the world where there was a peace, a window of peace, a red zone of peace, but also that happened to be the roads that Paul traveled to make Jesus known would not have been available to him before that red zone. And because those things came into existence, because for the most part, the Roman Empire was able, during this Pax Romana, this 200-year period of peace, to shift its priorities toward road construction, toward bridge construction, toward tunnel construction, the things that eventually led to the expression that all roads lead to Rome. So this is really one of the reasons why Jesus has the kind of amazing impact, is because history aligned in such a way. And when you see it visually, when you see the overlap of these three different kinds of fuses, and you see how tight the window of opportunity is, and then Jesus ends up right in the middle of it, you're thinking, okay, well, no wonder the Common Era was initiated here, because something is amazing about Jesus' appearance there that changed history.
There's so many ways that we can know about Jesus, as you make plain in the book. You can know about Jesus through Christians who were the followers or disciples of Jesus. You can know about Jesus through people who were non-Christians, but they loved the principles that Messiah brought into the world, although they didn't really honor him as Messiah. You can also, however, know about Jesus through non-Christians who absolutely despised him.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I try to kind of parallel this to the story of Elvis. Like, how many times have you heard the complaint? Well, tell me, if Jesus is really who he said he was, why would only four people write about him? Well, that's not actually true. You know, it turns out that Jesus had the kind of impact that nobody else in history had. And just to give you a kind of a parallel from my, I'm an old guy now, but if I, you know, I remember when Elvis died. And when he died, I was working at a small market, and I was out sweeping in the parking lot, and I heard on the radio that Elvis Presley had died. And, you know, I was probably a little bit too young to be an Elvis Presley fan, but my mom sure was, my dad sure was. And I thought, wow, you know, he had, it turned out that after Elvis died, literally a book has been written pretty much every single year, at least one, since he died. And in the first couple of years, you'd have like 8-9 books written a year, and they're written by different groups, like Presleys, people who were family members who liked Elvis, and you have them written by non-Presleys, strangers, but they also liked Elvis. And then you have a group of non-Presleys who disliked Elvis and would write bad things about these, and write, a lot of these are written later in history, so they can write whatever they want because nobody is alive to contradict them anymore. So you saw those three groups in the Elvis story, and he has this huge literary impact. And I have a, you know, a list in the back of the book of all of the books written about Elvis. That's kind of a stupid thing to list, but the point is there's a ton. Now, Jesus had a similar impact on history in that there were people, Christians, who liked Jesus. And I'm only looking at the writers in the first 300 years, because that period of time when you're under persecution and intolerance and more persecution, then a little bit more tolerance and more persecution. You're not the religion of the empire. By the way, I get it. Power can corrupt, but you don't have any power yet. So I'm looking at those Christians and those writers, both Christian and non-Christian, who lived and wrote prior to Christianity becoming the religion of the empire, prior to the Edict of Milan, prior to the Edict of Thessalonica. And if you look at those same three kinds of groups, you have Christians who like Jesus, you have non-Christians who like Jesus, and you have non-Christians who dislike Jesus, just like Elvis. Now, you can reconstruct the story of Elvis just from the different writings of Elvis, because they're going to start to twist the story of Elvis, but they all begin with common concepts of the life and career of Elvis, and then they take all these rabbit trails and they distort the story of Elvis, but you can reconstruct the truth about Elvis just by looking at what's coming. Something similar happens here. You can look at these three groups and reconstruct the story of Jesus just from what's common. So you don't need the scriptures to do this.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with J. Warner Wallace. Can the truth about Jesus be uncovered, even without a body or a crime scene? Join Cold Case Detective J. Warner Wallace as he investigates Jesus using an innovative and unique approach he employs to solve real missing person murder cases. In Person of Interest, Wallace carefully sifts through the evidence from history alone without relying on the New Testament. You'll understand like never before how Jesus, the most significant person in history, changed the world. To receive your copy of Person of Interest, Why Jesus Still Matters in a World That Rejects the Bible, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or just visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Cold case detective Jay Warner Wallace listened to a pastor talk about Jesus and wondered why anyone would think Jesus was a person of interest. Wallace was skeptical of the Bible, but he had investigated several nobody homicide cases in which there was no crime scene, no physical evidence, and no victim's body. Could the historical life and actions of Jesus be investigated in the same way? In Person of Interest, Wallace describes his own personal investigative journey from atheism to Christianity as he carefully considers the evidence. To receive your copy of Person of Interest, Why Jesus Still Matters in a World That Rejects the Bible, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's now rejoin Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Jay Warner Wallace, in their conversation.
You can look at these three groups: Christians who like Jesus, non-Christians who like Jesus, and you have non-Christians who dislike Jesus, and reconstruct the story of Jesus just from what's common. So you don't need the scriptures to do this. As a matter of fact, you'll see that in the book I have a diagram and I have an illustration of all of the people, both Christian and non-Christian sources, and it turns out that there are more non-Christian voices in the first 300 years who write or say something about Jesus than there are Christian voices. Now, when I say non-Christian, I mean like the non-canonical gospel authors. These are people who wrote late in history. They like Jesus, but they weren't Christians by any stretch. And they wrote a lot of mythology about Jesus, taking his story and, you know, building on the basics that we see in the gospels and then twisting them so they became, you know, keepers of secrets and all kinds of different things. Those are non-Christian voices, but they are, for the most part, sympathetic to the Jesus story. And then you have Persian and Greek and Jewish and Egyptian voices in history who have a lot of negative things to say about Jesus, but they're basically assuming all the positives in order to offer the negatives. And so you could actually reconstruct the story of Jesus without any testament just from writers in the first 300 years.
There are so many things that seem to be self-evident, but somehow or other they elude us. And you point us back to these realities, one of which being that Jesus dominates the bookshelves, that there are more books written about Jesus than any other figure in the history of the human race.
That's right. And it's not even close. Years ago, a guy who was an ex-CIA intelligence officer did this through the Library of Congress. And so I made a list of his top books, you know, the top historical figures mentioned in the books in the Library of Congress, which is the largest standing library of physical books. And it's Jesus way out ahead, almost 2-1 to the next competitor in that list. Well, then, of course, you could also search on Google Books, because this takes you out of a library and puts you into the world of books online, including self-published books, including books in other lands. You know, as long as they've mentioned Jesus of Nazareth, they're on the list, and he's still out way out in front. So no matter how you slice this, Jesus has been fascinating to authors. That's why they have a category called Jesus Figures in Literature, in which, and I've got a whole list here in the book, of the kinds of fictional characters that borrow from the outline of the Jesus story in order to create a new character. And so you'll see these Christ figures, and in all of these, the lead character usually has a virtuous mother and a divine or royal father. You know, he's born mysteriously and appears to be poor to the outside world. He's got some form of dual identity that's both common and special. I can go on and on. There's a list of attributes of Jesus that appear. And if you start looking at my list of fiction, you'll realize that a lot of the most popular characters in all of literature are not Jesus explicitly, they're Jesus implicitly. They borrow from the Jesus story in order to make their character.
And it's not just books. I mean, screenplays, movies. You point out in the book the Jesus film, created in 1979, translated into over 1,800 languages, viewed by some 8.1 billion people. That's more people than are on the planet. But you're talking about a cumulative period of time since it was produced to the present. That many people have actually watched this. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, because you have Jesus Christ Superstar, The Last Temptation of Christ, The Passion of the Christ, and the list goes on and on. And just seeing that in your book, just seeing the way it's laid out, impacted me so much that I'm doing a new podcast called Hank Unplugged Shorts, where it's just something that comes to my mind. And I said, you know, I was just reading a book called Person of Interest, and I pointed out the significance of Jesus Christ when it comes to not only the literary field, but the field of screenplays and movies.
No doubt about it. The thing about it is that not all of these movies are positive reflections of the true story. A lot of them are pejorative, because this is the amazing impact, right? You throw that stone in the pond and it starts to have all those ripples. And some of those ripples are going to be in places that you just don't expect them. You know, they're not always going to be positive. Some people are infuriated by Jesus. They want to mock Jesus. Why do you care about Jesus? You notice this all the time, right? You write a new book from a Christian perspective, and there's going to be a bunch of atheists online who are going to take a club out and try to beat the book down. Well, why? Because they sense that there's something in the book that might be edifying to the group they oppose. There's something about Jesus that people either love or hate, right? But he inspires that kind of engagement in a way that no other historical figure has ever caused that kind of engagement. This is true not just in literary arts, but in the visual arts. It's also true in music. I've got a chapter on that as well, where you'll see that not everyone is singing positive things about Jesus, but you'll have a hard time finding a pop artist in any genre. I mean, if it's pop, country, rap, whatever it is, you're going to have a hard time finding somebody who hasn't been inspired or frustrated or infuriated. He found some, or she's found some reason to use Jesus in the song, either in a pejorative way or in an honoring way. And that's the kind of impact he has. That's what you'd expect, right? Because, you know, look, I've had people say, well, isn't this true of other fictional characters? Really? You think there's a fictional character that has had this kind of impact on history? He was a fictional character in the last year, in the last 10 years, in the last 100 years. Well, let's go 1,000 years into the future and see if we have another break in the Common Era because of that fictional character. It's not going to happen. There's something about Jesus that reorders all of history, that demonstrates he's more than just some copycat savior, some fictional, that no historical character really should have the kind of impact on history that Jesus had. So we've got to figure out a way to account for the impact. And it's remarkable. And people also, Hank, will say, well, yeah, you're talking about Western culture. Really? I try to do my best in the book to show how this is a global phenomenon. Jesus reaches out into every nook and cranny of the world. As a matter of fact, even in those countries where there is some other religious worldview that dominates their culture, well, I guarantee you, if you talk to their religious leaders or their scripture, they've found a way to modify it, merge, or mention Jesus. He has that impact even on other spiritual worldviews, which I talk about in the last chapter. And that's the thing about Jesus. Who could be said to have that? You realize Buddha had a head start. Indra had a head start. Krishna had a head start. They haven't had any kind of impact combined compared to what Jesus has. So how is it with the head start they didn't have that kind of impact? So there's something different about Jesus.
No question. And you've already alluded to this, the inspiration that Jesus had with respect to literature, to music. You mentioned the arts and music, but I think that it's important to do a deep dive on this, because you think about the paintings and the great artists of all time. So many of them are inspired by Jesus Christ. The architecture that's inspired by Jesus Christ. You think of the Hagia Sophia in Istanbul, the impact that that had as one of the greatest architectural marvels of all of ancient history. So art and music, they reflect Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, that is not an entirely Western phenomenon either. So if you were somebody who was researching the history of art, just go get your resources out there. You find any set of resources you like best that describe the history of art, both before Jesus arrives and then after Jesus arrives. And you look at that period in which Jesus existed, was born and died on the cross, rose from the grave, and then you go from that point forward in art history. I want you to pick out every genre of art. I've listed them all in the book. You can see how they all fall together, all the way from the antiquity, all the way to Dadaism, to Popism, to all the different forms of the arts. And this is the area that I was involved in before I became a detective. So I love looking at art history. And then I want you just to Google, because I think this is where young people really, I mean, look, Google it. Even if you just used Google and you said, okay, so who are the top three artists in this genre? And get a list. Now search the catalogs for those three to five artists that are at the top of that historical genre of art. And you're going to find that every single one of them have painted, etched, sculpted, or drawn Jesus at some point. Doesn't mean they're all Christians, because they're not. But at some point they were inspired, and a lot of it is pejorative. It's not necessarily positive, okay? And sometimes it's kind of grotesque. But you will see that the Jesus occupies headspace in artists throughout history in a way that no other historical figure has ever occupied.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with J. Warner Wallace. Our firm commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and to equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your crucial gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you J. Warner Wallace's new book, Person of Interest: Why Jesus Still Matters in a World That Rejects the Bible. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website, equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.